Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to a new edition of Rhymes, Views, and News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dueva Frazier, and today my guest is author, poet, guitarist, vocalist, writer, and educator, Jacob Sylvester. He has been sharing his talents in and around the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area for many years. He loves and performs a variety of music. He uses a mixture of many different styles in his music, gospel, traditional jazz, and contemporary jazz, always trying to reach intellectually as well as to entertain his audiences. Jacob Sylvester is the author of a book of poetry titled My World in Variables. The collection of poetry provides his views on a variety of topics, including race, love, family. The book was published by Jake Song Management Company, which is a company Jacob created to present his various creative and business efforts to the world. Jacob Sylvester holds a BA degree in English and an MS degree in management from the University of Maryland University College. He uses his college training in literature to write in many genres, including poetry, fiction, and nonfiction. To Jacob, it's all about sharing his passion as a musician, writer, and educator. You can visit Jacob's website for more information at jacobsylvester.com. Let's pick up with my guest author right now. Hi, am I speaking with Jacob? Hi, am I speaking with Jacob Sylvester? Hi, am I speaking with Jacob Sylvester? Let's try this again. Hi, am I speaking with Jacob Sylvester?
Yes, this is Jacob Sylvester.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay, great, I got you. There are two other calls on the line, so I wasn't sure which one was you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Great. Thank you so much for joining me here on Rhymes, Views, and News Talk Radio. And I have to say, Jacob, you and I follow each other on just about all the social media, so I think that's really cool.
Yeah. In fact, I've been listening to a number of your broadcasts as well, so I'm very impressed with you.
Great. Well, I'm so happy to have you here, and you know poetry is a great love of mine, so I cannot wait for you to discuss your work and your inspiration, as well as your background as a multi-talented artist.
Oh, great. Okay. Sure.
Well, let's start, you know, with your background. First, I mean, you have a tremendous breadth of experience in jazz, in music, being a musician, a writer, and educator. So I'd love for you to start wherever you want with your artistic background and then moving forward with your poetry.
Okay, great. I started as a guitarist. I started taking guitar lessons when I was around 13. Actually, I didn't take guitar lessons. I taught myself originally. And I was influenced by the Beatles and later by Stevie Wonder. I took up piano primarily because of Stevie Wonder. I went to a I was born in New Orleans, and at the age of 10, I left there and went to move with my family to Washington, D.C. And I grew up in D.C., Washington, D.C. And ultimately, I went to a school that was kind of like the movie Fame. The program I was in at McKinley High School. And that's when I really got into playing piano and so forth because I was advised that, you know, the guitar didn't have as much of a range. So I picked up the piano and started playing that. For the most part, that's the way I do my recording, my backing tracks with piano. Yeah. And from there, I started at McKinley. I wrote for a couple of plays, music for a couple of plays. I created and put on a show of composers, writers of music, and and just did a whole lot of the, what do you call that, woodshedding and the grunt work that goes into becoming a musician. I grew up on R&B music. One of my favorites was Stevie Wonder, Donny Hathaway, starting off, of course, with the Jackson 5. That was my era. That was my era. That's why I wanted to go out and play and become a performer. In terms of the poetry, I had a mentor when I was young, about 13 or so. I had a mentor, and he used to listen to Gil Scott-Heron and Nikki Giovanni. So those were the first, those were the first two people I listened to as a poet, and began to write based on the fact that I really enjoyed their work. And when I was about 15, I got a chance to meet Gil Scott-Heron. He was teaching in D.C.
Wow.
Yeah, he was teaching at a place called Federal City College in D.C. And I got a chance to talk to him and chat with him. And so, you know, that's where my interest in terms of poetry took place.
Okay. That's wonderful. And then were you writing, even from young adulthood to the present, have you always been writing with the focus of publishing, writing for enjoyment, or writing for performance sake?
I wrote from about the age of 13 or so. I wrote always with the idea of becoming, first of all, a performer, because I was into music. I always wanted to be a performer. I always wanted to be an entertainer. So from the age 13 on, you know, I wrote, first I wrote poetry, and then I wrote lyrics. I started writing songs when I got into high school. Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful. And in terms of Washington, D.C., because that is one of the centers of great centers of, you know, the arts and culture, how did the setting of Washington, D.C. play a part in you becoming an artist, a poet, having access to other artists, as you mentioned, Gil Scott-Heron?
Right. I think because I went to McKinley, Beatrice Gilks was one of the music teachers there, and Irene Watkins. I think because I went to McKinley, they had so many connections with within the D.C. arena, if you want to call it that, the political arena, that I ended up, before I left high school, I ended up performing at the Kennedy Center with a choir, with my choir.
Wow.
I ended up performing at Constitution Hall in D.C., which is a big performance venue. And also we did the White House for Jimmy Carter and the First Lady, Rosalynn Carter. I did all of that. I did all of that while I was in high school, you know. And so I always say everything after the White House, the performance after the White House, is kind of like, you know, okay. You know, after that performance.
Exactly. That's like a huge accomplishment.
Yeah. At the time, you know, I didn't take it as serious because I was young, but as time went on, especially the Constitution Hall performance, because I realized that later that Marian Anderson was denied an opportunity to sing at Constitution Hall because of a color. You know, so it started to mean more to me as I got older. But that's those type of connections, and because of the school I went to and the teachers that I had, that was the reason that I continued on.
Sure. Jacob, I'm going to pause. We have a number of callers, and they may want to speak to you, ask a question, or give a comment. So I'd just like to pause and give them the chance to do that.
Sure.
Hello, for the one of the listeners, do you have a question or comment for Jacob Sylvester? Yes, hello, listener, do you have a question or a comment for my guest author, Jacob Sylvester? Jacob?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, so maybe the folks that are on, they might just want to listen, and I do have that at times. They call in and they really just want to listen. They're not quite ready to talk or speak. So if that's okay with you, I'm okay with that.
That's perfectly fine with me. No problem.
Okay, and so, let's get into my world in variables. So tell me, what was your inspiration behind this collection of poems, and just talk about how it came about, how you came to form your publishing company, and of course I'd love to hear an excerpt of your work.
Okay. I had written a number of poems over the years, so the poems in the book My World in Variables, it actually spans a number of years. I'd always wanted to publish, and being a business major and having a business sense, I always wanted to do it myself. I didn't believe that you needed a publisher or a person to do that. In previous years, perhaps even decades, it was much more expensive than it is now with having print on demand and so forth. So I guess the book came out because of the increase in technology and the way it made things more accessible to artists.
Right.
That's pretty much how the published, the reason many of the poems were just written over a number of years about, as you mentioned earlier, family, love, politics, race, and so forth. They were written over a number of years. I just finally got a chance to do that, to publish it, because of the technology allowing artists to finally take more control of their destiny.
Wow.
As far as I'm concerned.
And so when you say publishing, allowing, are you referencing self-publishing? Just for the sake of our listeners who are interested in that, are you referencing self-publishing or just publishing as a whole?
Well, I know many folks use the title self-publishing, but I don't make much of a distinction. The only distinction I make is, can my work stand up against the next work from an aesthetic standpoint? You know what I mean? Are there many errors or anything in my work? As opposed to if I look at a book on, say, another publishing company, regardless of the publishing company, whether they've been here for centuries or they're like myself, so I don't make a real big distinction in terms of that. I just, I guess everyone would probably call it self-publishing, but I don't make much of a distinction. I think now because of technology, I don't think that there's, you just have to put in the work, the effort, and so forth, and the desire to have a perfect product,
Sure.
And if you do have a perfect product, I don't think that there is much of a distinction between a major publisher or a publisher who is considered self-publishing. So I don't really make that much of a distinction. It's all about product as far as I'm concerned, or quality.
That's wonderful. It's about the quality of the product. And do you find that the community is supportive of an artist such as yourself who has an entrepreneurial spirit but knows the trade of publishing and all the steps that one must go through to get their book to that point, that the community has been receptive to your book, My World in Variables?
Yeah, I don't think that there have been any hesitation to purchase the book in terms of the consumer or the fans or the readership. And I think that's primarily due to the fact that I think each artist, particularly those artists who want to do the steps themselves in terms of publishing, I think you have to make sure that you have a great product. You can't even just have a good product. I think you have to perfect it. You have to be almost perfect with it, as far as I'm concerned. And I think every artist, and I consider poets artists, I think every artist start off with that desire to have a perfect product, you know, as perfect as you can get it, you know. No, I haven't found any hesitation from the business community or from the readership, you know, in terms of the product I produce.
Wonderful. And what is in store in terms of My World and Variables? This is your first book. Is this your first book, or?
This is my first book, but as we speak, yes. This is my first book, but as we speak, I'm in the process of putting together, editing an anthology, Jake Song anthology.
Okay.
As well as I'm doing a book with my daughter. She's Delicia Sylvester. I'm doing a book with her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's been running this magazine called Women's Elevation Magazine for a number of years now. And at first I was a little hesitant, and she was like, "Dad, you can't treat me as your daughter."
Right, you have to treat her as a businesswoman and as a publisher.
Exactly. And she put out her own book also, If I Only Knew Then, a book called If I Only Knew Then. She put it out.
Wonderful.
And so we both have pretty much gone through the same
process.
Routine, the process in terms of getting our books to the public at large. You know, so yeah, I see her more as a colleague than as a child of mine, you know.
Sure. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm sure you're very proud.
Yeah. Matter of fact, she has a BA also in English. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. And I'll be reaching out to you about what she's doing on the back end.
Great.
Yeah. And so My World in Variables. So tell me about the book, themes, inspiration. Well, you talked a little bit about it, but in terms of how did you choose the pieces that were going? Because I'm sure you've been writing and you have a wealth of work. How did you choose the poems that would then become the collection?
I just chose the poems that I thought worked best for that topic, that title, My World in Variables. I wanted to give glimpses of different aspects of life, and that's the way I went about choosing the particular poems. And as I said, you know, the poems touch upon a variety of issues in life, you know, and that's pretty much the reason why I called the book My World in Variables, because it wasn't just one aspect like a book of love poems or a book of protest poems. It was a variety of life, you know, different things.
Right.
Intertwined poetry coming from different aspects of life. Yeah, and I have a few poems that are more, you might say, love poems. I have poems that are more politically centered. One that I'm going to read for you that deals with, I believe, Black masculinity, masculinity. That's how I chose the poems, based on a variety of aspects of life, My World and Variables. Yeah.
Wonderful. And so now, Jacob, would you please honor us with a reading? I'd love to hear at least 2 to 3 poems as a sample of your work. And we're 10 minutes out of the remainder of our interview.
Okay. Excuse me. The first poem I'd like to read for you is a poem called The Next Conquest. somewhere along the way, we stop telling little boys they too are special. The conquest, always the conquest. That one-eyed animal between the legs, having no brain, yet controlling everything. The conquest, always the conquest. We have to teach little boys they are worth more than any conquest if they are truly to become men.
Wonderful. Can I snap to that?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Wonderful. And you know what? It's true. We do have to teach our boys there's way more to life than all of that. And so, but that's great. And that can, and I'll tell you, do you speak with students, with youth groups?
I have in the past, yes. Every chance I get. I also tutor through my company. I tutor and teach poetry and so forth. And I also teach GED preparation and so forth. So, yeah.
Okay,
I get a chance to mentor a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. I think of poems like that that have a subject matter that youth can kind of latch on to and use as a greater discussion about their lives and decision-making and things like that. So I think that's great. Thank you for that. And so share another one.
Oh, okay, sure. This poem here is called Retrospection. It's a poem for Carol. That first smile, that first hello, that spring. There will never be again that first. A man and woman child making love, searching for themselves in each other. That first time, that joy, that oneness, they will never find again that innocence.
Very nice, very nice. And that's a love poem.
Yes, it is.
Okay, wonderful. And do you have any poems that center upon the jazz music? Because I know that's a big part of your life.
Right. And I'm thinking, I tried to read my easier poems first, you know. I tried to read the easiest ones. I have one that I wrote for with Langston Hughes, because you, I'm sure you know, Langston wrote a lot of jazz-type poems and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have one in the book that was written with Langston Hughes in mind, but I'm going to read
Is it more than 2 to 3 minutes long?
Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read one that I in the book, which is called Miles, and it's about Miles.
Oh, Miles, like Miles Davis.
Yes, Miles Davis. And I should have said in the beginning of the interview, I mentioned that I'm from New Orleans. And a lot of that dialect is still with me. So, Ben.
Okay. Good. We want to hear all that New Orleans vernacular.
Yeah, right. And I tried so hard to get rid of it as a kid, trust me. But I love being somewhere. I love it. But anyway, Miles is the name of the poem. Let me read that one for you.
Okay.
Like the sounds of your trumpet. On a sunny summer Sunday, it's almost biblical. You breathe life into the ordinary and mundane. I read my paper or book nearly clothless and unshaven, feeling somehow intellectual. And I know it's you taking me away again to that cool place.
Very nice.
Yeah. My
and
my
I can
favorite
imagine.
Outfit. Go ahead.
No, I just, you know, I really, the musicians who also write poetry, you all have a special knack and gift for really thinking about the rhythm and how that poem would really merge with the music. And, you know, I just always enjoy that aspect of poetry with music, poetry with jazz music. So I just, you know, was commenting on that.
Right. And one of my favorite albums, the reason why I wrote that particular poem is because one of my favorite albums is albums by Miles called Kinda Blue.
Oh, Kinda Blue. That's a famous album, right?
Yeah, that was one of my, and in fact, even though I grew up listening to R&B, Stevie Wonder, Michael Henderson, Donnie Hathaway, ultimately I came to love jazz music, Ella Fitzgerald being my favorite vocalist and Miles Davis being my favorite instrumentalist. So, yeah.
Wonderful. I want to take a pause real quick, Jacob, just for anyone following us just now, as opposed to at the beginning of the interview. I'm talking with musician, vocalist, writer, poet, Jacob Sylvester. He's also an educator. He's written a wonderful book of poetry titled My World in Variables. And I've been live tweeting throughout the interview. You can follow Jacob at JSYLVESTER7, JSylvester7 at Twitter. And you can follow my radio show at RVN Talk Radio as I'm live tweeting all the wonderful things that Jacob is sharing with us right now. So, Jacob, getting back to you, please tell us what is your website and how can people pick up a copy of your volume of poetry, My World in Variables?
Okay, sure. My website, I'm located at www.jacobsylvester.com. You can read some excerpts from my book as well as my music. You can listen to some of my music. My book is sold online at Amazon. You can get my book at Amazon.com.
Wonderful.
And what else? Is there anything else?
You're on Facebook.
Yes, I'm on Facebook. You can locate me on Facebook. Also, my business website in terms of my business activities, the publishing company, and so forth, is at jakesong.com. Yeah, jakesong.com.
Okay, and Jacob, once again, for listeners, you're based in Washington, D.C., is that correct?
I'm just outside of D.C. in Frederick, Maryland, but yeah.
Okay,
yeah, I spend a lot of time in D.C.
Okay,
go ahead.
We've got 1 minute out, so I, you know, definitely would love to have you on again, but I want to go ahead and close out, and we'll give your website once again, and people will pick up your wonderful book, My World in Variables. Visit Jacob Sylvester's website at jacobsylvester.com. Definitely follow his company, Jake Song Management Company, and follow him via Twitter at jsylvester7 on Twitter. Jacob, I want to thank you so much for being here as my guest on Rhymes, Views, and News Talk Radio and sharing your poetry and the background, the wonderful artistic background and contributions you've given as an artist over the years. And I'd love to continue to stay in touch with you and, of course, have you on again in April, which is National Poetry Month.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. I'd love to do that. Thank you so much, Jacob.
Oh, you're welcome, and have a great day.
You too.